here at a critical moment.
Hello, I'm Dan Brown.
And I'm Brandi Crawford, are you?
We are your TV BFFs, and welcome to season two of the TV BFFs podcast.
Whoa!
Brandi, welcome back. How have you been?
I have been amazing, and I'm so happy to be back. I love being behind this mic, you guys.
Me too. I love talking about TV shows with you. I've missed our conversations. I mean, we've had a couple. If you've been following along, we've done a couple recent, you know, TV, current TV catch-ups, which have been great, but we're back into it weekly, coming to you every Friday from here until the foreseeable future, probably like through the end of the year. So we're back, baby.
Yes. So glad to be here. I have been watching lots and lots of TV.
Love it. Proud of you.
I am so excited to just start talking to people again and just hearing some recommendations. I need to fill my coffer.
Absolutely. So we've actually recorded a couple handful of our episodes already, and the conversations have been amazing. Guys, you have no idea what is in store. We're talking to just the coolest people. We're talking to TV producers who work in talk show. They work in game shows. We got podcast producers. We got comedians. We got personalities. We got all sorts of excellent, wonderful people.
We've honestly got a little bit of everyone and just some really, we're going to be talking some really, really awesome TV, and I'm so excited about it.
Yeah. Some creative criteria, some outlandish criteria, some just truly next level stuff. But you will notice once you start hearing some of those interviews, and we have one coming up in this episode that we're very excited to get to very soon, but wanted to tell you guys about a couple changes in the podcast this season. We're doing things not terribly differently. We're still going to do TV BFF criterias. We still ask our guests to talk about their top six shows of all time and choose two shows, two best, two favorite, and two forever shows. The BFF criteria hasn't changed in that respect. However, after a lot of feedback, after a lot of trial and error last season, after a lot of, how would you describe it, Brandi? Frustrated, angsty.
Yeah, not quite understanding the assignment. Right. So we basically just like changed the assignment a little bit.
A little bit. We made
just
it
a little bit.
Yeah. But I think in a way that will help people lean into the shows that they really want to talk about a little bit more. So the way it works is we ask our guests to choose two shows in each of the three categories. Those are their best, favorite, and forever shows. Their best shows are the shows that they think are just the most well-crafted, the highest execution. They should win all the Emmys, things like that. Their favorite shows are the ones that hold a place near and dear to your heart, mean something to you personally, things like that. And then the forever category is if you died tomorrow, had to watch two shows on a loop over and over, no skips, pilot to finale, what would those shows be? So that hasn't changed. But Brandi, do you want to talk about what has changed?
I'd love to. How the BFF criteria worked before is that you would pick two shows in each of the BFF categories, and they had to be of different genres. And we define the three genres of TV as being comedy, drama, and all things unscripted. And so it just kind of made a little bit more of a fun game. We talked to a lot of comedians last season, and comedians be loving themselves some comedy, and they just couldn't help themselves by putting only comedies in their criteria.
Maybe once or twice this season as well. Not to spoil anything, but some wild criteria.
So we have changed the format just a tiny bit. And so now you can double up, but only in one category. So yes, you're welcome. We made it a little easier for you. Your two favorite shows can be comedies. They can be dramas. But guess what? Your forevers better be two things that are different. And so had your best.
That's right. And it doesn't have to be your favorite category. You could double up in your best if you're a big prestige drama fan and you're like, you know what? I can't choose between Breaking Bad and Better Call Saul. They're both in my best category. Mm-hmm. I'm going to have to reckon with that a little bit later this season when we update our own BFF criterias to adjust to these new rules, right? This is across the board. And like we always say, your criterias are a snapshot in time, right? They can change. They can adapt. Update based on what you've seen.
Yeah. And like, you know, maybe your two forever shows are House Hunters and Chopped.
Right.
Maybe that's true.
But yeah, so that's been exciting. That's opened the door. And that's funny. Even just that one little tweak really has changed the makeup of these criteria in, I think, really fun ways. And then we're also doing something different for our lightning round. So we always end our episode with a quick lightning round that we spring on the guests, something that they haven't prepared for, which is the antithesis of the criteria where we do ask our guests to put it together beforehand. But with the lightning round, last season, we didn't really have a rhyme or a reason. We're just kind of like asking questions that we thought were fun in the moment. But this season, we wanted to bring it back to the criteria. So we've created what we call the mini BFF. So each episode, each guest will now be surprised with a lightning round that's a little bit geared towards them, towards either what they do, what they love, what they're obsessed with. And we ask them to do just one best, one favorite, one forever, hence the mini BFF criteria in a random category. It could be podcasts. It could be stand-up comedians. It could be movies, right? This also gives us an opportunity to kind of spread our wings a little bit, expand what we can talk about through this BFF filter. So we've had a lot of fun with that. And after we get to our guests interview in just a second here, Brandon and I will come back and do a couple of some mini BFFs that we've really liked so far and we wanted to kind of take a spin ourselves.
Yeah. You know what I just thought of a really good mini BFF? Grocery stores.
Ooh, shit.
Yeah, I don't know who we're going to do that with. We need to talk to some chefs. I love grocery stores.
That's a pretty good one.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. Is grocery stores too niche? Should it be just like stores? And then it says a lot if someone puts a grocery store in there.
I have a mini BFF for grocery stores. So
really?
I feel like it's not that niche. Like I know exactly who my best favorite and forever of grocery stores are.
I mean, I gotta ask, what is it?
Okay, my best is Union Market.
Okay.
My favorite is Trader Joe's. And my forever, Wegmans. I want to be there till the end of time.
I was nervous you weren't going to say it and that we would have to dissolve the podcast almost instantly. But you said Wegmans. We're safe because you're right. That is a forever grocery store. That's absolutely right. You know what? You did it. And I agree top to bottom. I think that's great. Whole Foods can get the fuck out of here. Sorry.
Yeah, get Whole Foods out of my fucking face, man. Give me one of those like 15 minute grocery delivery apps before you give me Whole Foods.
That's right. Oh, my God. Get out of here. All right, so that's all the housekeeping, the amended BFF criteria, the mini BFF lightning round. Speaking of, we can get to our guests. We're incredibly excited for our first guest of season two. I think, Brandy, when you and I initially started talking about this podcast, like he was at the top of the list for a guest we would love on this show.
Oh, so excited, you guys. On the show today, we've got Danny Pellegrino.
Danny Pellegrino, the Bravo Housewives, pop culture expert from Everything's Iconic. We had Danny for a limited amount of time. He's a super busy guy. So instead of doing the full 6-episode, 2 in each category, full-blown criteria, we said, you know what? Let's do something very Danny Pellegrino specific. Let's do a mini BFF, one best, one favorite, one forever, but only with Bravo shows.
It is my dream come true. Without further ado, guys... Here's our interview with Danny Pellegrino. So today we have an incredible guest. He is an amazing podcaster and the host of Everything Iconic with Danny Pellegrino, which I think really sets the tone for what a podcast about TV and entertainment should be. And he is now also the New York Times bestselling author of How Do I Unremember This? Unfortunately, True Stories. Please welcome Danny Pellegrino. Woo!
Hi, Brandy. Hi, Dan. I'm so excited. You know, it's my favorite topic to talk about TV, so I'm super excited. And I know we have tons of Bravo to talk about, which is even more my speed.
That's right. Thank you so much for coming on. We want to do something special for you, considering your expertise and your experience. So, and it's season two now of the podcast. We're doing things a little bit differently, having a little bit more fun with our BFF criteria. So that's right. We're going to do a Bravo BFF. But before we get into that, Danny, let's talk about Bravo just kind of in general. Like it's been a force in pop culture for decades. I was actually looking at a list of like their entire slate of past programs, and there's some truly iconic shows on here. So like before we get into your BFFs, what were some shows or some early Bravo memories that kind of stick with you and helps kind of form who you are as someone who consumes pop culture?
Well, Dan, there's been so many eras of Bravo. So I feel like I recently was going back and I was in a YouTube spiral where I was watching sort of like the early Bravo years. People put literally the whole programming blocks up on YouTube. And there was a time where it was like very jazzy, and like the whole vibe of Bravo was like jazz, and they'd play very artsy movies and they'd do different sort of more artsy stuff. I think Inside the Actors Studio was one of the first shows that really took off on Bravo, but that was more in line of what Bravo was at the beginning. And then, of course, the evolution of Bravo came The Real Housewives. The Real Housewives of Orange County was the first Housewives franchise that started. And I started my time with the Housewives around The Real Housewives of New York, which I think was the second or third. New York and Atlanta kind of came in together. And then after I got hooked on New York, then I, of course, went back with Orange County. But before any of the Housewives stuff, I was really into the Bravo programming. There were shows like Showbiz Moms and Dads was a show that was on there early on. And I loved Inside the Actor's Studio, which was, I've always been a pop culture junkie. So to me, that was just such a delightful hour of TV. And I felt like we got in-depth interviews that we weren't really getting anywhere else on TV at the time.
Yeah.
Larry King around that era was on CNN and doing more long form interviews, or maybe Charlie Rose, I think, was on at that time. But I felt like Inside the Actor's Studio really cut out all the BS. And it was just like, let's talk about the performance, the movies, and the projects that these actors were involved in. So that was kind of where I started with Bravo. And then all the reality stuff hooked me.
That Lipton era, you're right, like very kind of jazzy, very like art focused. And to be honest, Inside the Actor Studio could be a potential forever show. Like that would be a fun forever show. There are tons of episodes, tons of celebrities. You get to kind of pop in on movie history like throughout time.
And it's really good interviews.
Yeah. And I think it was just something we weren't getting elsewhere in the TV landscape. And it's fascinating now when I think of Bravo, everything's so fast cuts, like all the reality shows, it's really fast. The scenes move through really quickly. And if you look at something like Inside the Actor's Studio, it's really slow. It's an hour of TV that's just painfully slow. But I like that about it. But yeah, I thought it was a great show. And then all the reality stuff, they found a formula that I think really started to work. They were one of the first places on TV to really show LGBTQ people. It wasn't happening elsewhere. And there were shows like Workout with Jackie Warner, who she was an out lesbian woman who was starring in her own show. And it was about the people at her gym who were also LGBTQ. And I wish Bravo did a better job nowadays of showcasing LGBTQ people, because I often find that's lacking. And particularly where it was earlier in the millennium, I think I would have assumed that they would have kept going with that. And it almost feels like we've maybe taken a step back. Of course, we have people like Andy Cohen on Watch What Happens Live headlining. But in terms of the reality, I almost feel like LGBTQ representation has taken a step backwards on Bravo, which is unfortunate. I love the network, but that would be my complaint if I'm complaining.
It could almost be like they're like a little bit of a caricature. Like, I'm just thinking about the guy on Atlanta right now, Sheree's assistant that she didn't pay. It just kind of feels like it's like they kind of looked at Dwight from back in the day and they're like, oh, this is, if we're going to be a gay guy on Bravo, this is what we have to do. And it's like, no, you can just be yourself.
And Brandy, it's so fascinating you mentioned that stereotype, because I do think that part of the appeal or part of the representation when it came to LGBTQ on the network early on was those stereotypes. And I think what was exciting for, I think, my community was that they were at least showing LGBTQ people. And it feels like they've now, we occasionally get the stereotype, but not often, not even often getting that.
What are your thoughts on a show like, because an earlier Bravo show, I don't know how early it was or what era it would fall in, but a show like Flipping Out, I liked a lot. And I thought that looking back, maybe it wasn't, you know, the best, you know, most layered representation of queer relationships, but it was representation of queer relationships that I responded to it and I liked early on. But you're right, you don't see as much of that on the network anymore. Were you a Flipping Out fan?
I sort of dipped in and out with Flipping Out. Yeah, I was familiar with the show, and there were certain seasons I watched it religiously and then other seasons where I sort of fell off. But yeah, I suppose with the representation, my main issue would be shows like Summer House or Southern Charm or these shows where they have Housewives. Obviously it's like I love that we have representation for older women within the Housewives world. And so I am happy that those shows exist. But I think some of these other shows where we're showing male-female dynamics and to not have any LGBTQ or very few is frustrating to me. But, you know, there's a whole Summer House, I think they're have it going through a cast change right now. So I'm hopeful that maybe they'll bring in some different kinds of people. And I always think that's a good thing. But yeah, flipping out, I remember there were certain seasons I was obsessed with. I mean, that was, and I think Jeff Lewis has a new show on Amazon that's supposed to be sort of similar to Flipping Out.
Oh, I have to check this out.
Or a same kind of vibe. I haven't watched it yet, but I do know that he's did a new show for that. All the episodes are out on like Amazon Freevee. Is that a network or streamer?
It is. I think it is. Yeah.
It's how, who can keep up these days? It's like, I saw something that was like, oh, watch it on Freevee. And I was like, I don't know what the hell Freevee is. Like, what? Where is Freevee?
Yeah, who owns it? And where can I find it?
Supposedly it's Amazon.
The reason I responded to Flipping Out, one, I think great characters, but also I respond to, so I'll be honest, I have a confession. Housewives is a big pop culture blind spot for me.
How dare you? That's a wrap on Danny. I'll talk to you guys later.
Well, but listen, my partner more than makes up for it. Brandy is a huge fan. So we help out each other where each other lacks. But I still loved a lot of Bravo shows and responded to a lot of like the process driven shows. So like Top Chef is on my BFF criteria. I think it's the best reality show of all time. The best made reality show of all time. In my estimation, tons of spinoffs there. I watched all of them, some more successful than others. But I like Flipping Out because it had that home renovation process driven aspect to it. And then, of course, all of the other drama surrounding it. So,
wait, Dan, can I ask you the best Top Chef spinoff and the worst, in your opinion?
The best, Just Desserts, I think, rocked.
Yeah, I love Just Desserts. Oh, my God, yes.
Gail Simmons is a great host. Just Desserts, so good. Bring it back.
I interviewed her it was probably about a year ago now. And I was trying so hard to get her and the network to reboot Just Desserts because I thought it was brilliant and also very ahead of its time, I think. After that, suddenly there started to become a lot of baking shows, but that was one of the first. And I don't know if they knew what to do with it or the audience just wasn't quite understanding what it was. And Brandy, I want to know your favorite housewife since you're a housewife. Chunky, do you have a favorite franchise?
Yes, my favorite franchise is Potomac. I would say that it used to be tied between Atlanta and New York, but they've like been lacking recently.
I know.
But I love Potomac, and I love, my favorite housewife is probably, I'd have to go between like Ashley Darby and Karen Huger.
Oh, yes. Karen's my favorite. I love her.
And I also love Whitney Rose from Salt Lake.
Oh, interesting.
I know. I've always loved her. And everybody's like, really? She's so annoying. And I'm like, she's the best.
You know what? We like what we like. And sometimes you just have to follow your heart.
I know. And that's what I'm doing. So hi, Whitney Rose and all your weird name brands. But all right. We want to get this party started. So let's get to your BFF criteria, Danny. We asked you to pick three Bravo shows and rate them as your best, favorite, and forever. So your best show is the one that you think is just the most artistic, you know, well-executed, just the overall best-made Bravo show you've ever seen. Your favorite show is the one that really holds a place near and dear to your heart and just means something to you personally. And for the forever show, if you died tomorrow and in the afterlife, you get to choose one Bravo show to watch in order from pilot to finale over and over for infinity. What is it?
I'm so excited. I'm so excited.
So Danny, what is your best Bravo show?
Well, first of all, I have to say that I have notes. So I'm looking at my notes right now because I took notes for this. And real quickly, I just want to mention, because we didn't get to talk about this with the Omos, but I do want to just shout out Gallery Girls, which I think was like a one season wonder that
yes,
so good.
I loved Gallery Girls.
I love it.
Hell yes.
I love them. I love them. I mean, Gallery Girls, the best. Brandy, you mentioned Potomac. Of course, Potomac, I think, is the best one running right now. It's so good. And Karen Huger's my favorite. So I just want to mention those for my Omos because I took notes on those and I just felt like I needed to mention. Okay, so now for my best fave and forever. So my best to me is Married to Medicine is the most consistent show on Bravo.
Whoa.
Okay.
It's always good. Like it's never had a bad season, I don't think. I think it's so well produced. The cast is incredible. They haven't had much cast turnover. Of course, Mariah left and I loved Mariah. I wish they would have kept her around. But for the most part, the cast is almost the same as what we had our first season, which is so rare in the Bravo universe because Married to Medicine is so many seasons in already. And it's just because the cast has a real friendship dynamic that I think makes it good. And then also it has these amazing stories about the world of doctors and medicine, which I think is so fascinating, particularly even last year during the pandemic. There was a whole season that was filmed during the pandemic. And I think most Bravo shows suffered during that time because they they couldn't really do much, but Married to Medicine, I think, thrived because they were able to show what it was like for doctors in the pandemic. And I just love it. I just think if you've never watched it, you could hop in at any season, but there's just not a bad season. It's just always good.
I'm super intrigued by this pick because I feel like it's one that really flies under the radar. Like, you don't hear people talk about Married to Medicine very much at all.
It definitely does.
Yeah, I think it's so good. I agree. It does fly under the radar and it gets consistently good ratings, but I don't think it gets a lot of like fanfare. And I've tried to cover it on my show, on my podcast. And whenever I've had some of the people from the show or covered it on my show, it just doesn't get the response. I mean, people just don't listen to those episodes as much. And so, yeah, I love it though. And I just think it's so good. And I wish everyone would watch it. And I wish it got the fanfare because to me, it has all of the elements that we love from Housewives. It's got all the drama and stuff, but it also has these real life friendship dynamics. And we get the, Dan, you had mentioned sort of the craft or the trade of certain shows like Flipping Out or Blowout or Working Out or all those out shows. But I think that we get that with Married to Medicine and seeing the hospital work. And there's Dr. Heavenly is a dentist on there. So we see some of these people in the workplace as well, which is fascinating. And yeah, I always wish I get frustrated because I've had certain cast members on and it's like no one listens to those episodes of mine when I do Married to Medicine episodes. And it's like I always would love to cover it, but no one seems to respond when I'm trying to cover it.
Wow. Justice for Married to Medicine. We need to expand the hive here.
Start the hashtag.
Yeah, exactly.
Justice for Married to Medicine. It's so good though. It's the same producers that do the Miami Housewives too, the reboot. And I think they just do a good job. What they do a good job of is like their shows never really have like these big scandals in the, you know, Beverly Hills has the big court case with Erica Jane. And then Salt Lake City has the big Jen Shah drama or Jersey had the table flip, like Married to Medicine or even the new Miami reboot. They don't really have like these big memeable moments or these big moments that ooze into the more general news. Like I think oftentimes you could turn on the evening news and see something about Jen Shah or Erica Jane or some of these other events that happen. And so it flies under the radar in that way, but always so good. Still, they still do a good job of editing and producing a great show.
I wonder if the level of difficulty is a little bit higher because the backdrop is a more serious, like it's medicine. It's people's lives and ailments. And, you know, if you're married to someone who's in that profession, like that's got to be a tricky tonal line to balance. And I think it's another notch in its argument for best because it's just a higher degree of difficulty to pull that off, make it entertaining, make it fun, make it Bravo, but also be so close to something that could be, to your point, like, you know, they filmed during the pandemic. That's serious stuff. That's heavy.
And you mentioned the difficulty pulling off. Another thing they do brilliantly is they incorporate the men in a way that other shows, I don't think, do a good job of. I think there's a few housewives try to incorporate the men. Like Jersey Housewives will have scenes with just the men to varying degrees of success. I don't think the men usually work well on Housewives. I always get frustrated when we see these scenes with the men. But on Married to Medicine, a lot of the men are doctors and they are incorporated in the drama in a way that feels natural and that it feels like I'm okay to spend time with the men. I'm excited to hear their perspective. They do a great job of that. Whereas on Jersey Housewives, it's like, I don't want to go to the men. I'm not interested.
They need to get out of women's business.
Right. Nene was right. Yeah.
Yeah. Nene called it. My husband, that's his favorite line. He's like, oh, that's Peter getting into women's business again. What's your favorite?
I tried to pick some interesting off the beaten path pick. So my favorite is Kathy Griffin's My Life on the D-List.
Oh, yes. Great one.
It was my first hook in Bravo. I mean, we talked about all those almost, but Kathy Griffin's My Life on the D-List was the first one that I really remember becoming obsessed with. And I just recently did a rewatch of it and it's so good. It still holds up to me. There's certain things, there's cringy moments within it. Obviously it was filmed at a different time, but for the most part, the comedy, the humor, there is some drama mixed into it too. There was some stuff that happened with her husband who was initially on the show and then they had gone through a divorce. And I think it's ultimately though, just the funniest, probably the funniest show that Bravo has ever put out. And there's a show on E! Now called with Nikki Glaser. She's a comedian. And I wish they would have followed the My Life on the D-List template because it's such a brilliant template of like someone trying to become A-list. And it's a brilliant show. And obviously no one can kind of recreate what she did, but it's so good. And people were asking me, I was rewatching it and posting about it, and people were asking where to watch it. And unfortunately it's not streaming anywhere.
Oh no.
So I have the old DVDs and stuff, but it's not streaming. And I mentioned I moved recently and I found an old VHS tape where I had, like, when I was in high school and college, I had recorded things off the TV, and I found tapes where I had that show recorded because I loved it so much. So, but I ultimately have the DVDs. But so you have to, unfortunately, that's the only way to watch it. Or I think maybe some people uploaded episodes on YouTube, but it's so good.
Oh my God. I have strong memories of watching that show growing up. My mom loved it. Madre, if you're listening, shout out. She loved that show. And I don't remember a ton of specifics because it was just kind of like always on. But I remember always being really entertained by the relationship between Kathy and her mother. Anytime her mom was on the show and they were together, I'm just like, this is an absolute hoot. This is so fun. I want more of this. And I think they did a really good job of incorporating not just Kathy's like search for fame, but to your point, like with her husband in those early episodes, but like her mom throughout, I thought was a really, really strong grounding relationship for that show that I still remember to this day in those moments.
Yeah, Maggie Griffin, her mom was the best.
Yeah. I feel like that's what Lisa Rinna was like trying to do with her and Lois, RIP Lois, like she's amazing. But like, I feel like that's the vibe she was trying to go for. And it's like, Lisa, you're not doing it. Like, we love Lois, but get out of my face, Rinna.
Right. I know all the house. I mean, a lot of the housewives, they do try to bring their mom in and make the mom like a character. But I don't think you can force it. I think there's sometimes the side characters work really well and sometimes they don't. But Maggie Griffin, she was just the funniest. And I think they had a really interesting dynamic because Maggie was conservative and Kathy was so liberal. And it was like they butted heads all the time. And there were also so many celebrities that appeared on that show. Towards the middle part of that show's run, she had every single episode, a Bette Midler, a Lily Tomlin, Whoopi Goldberg, like every single episode, somebody A-list was coming in there. And it petered out towards the end. The last season is not great, but I think there were 6 seasons and 1 through 5 is just some of the best reality TV ever.
I wonder if it's like that last season, was she still on the D-list? Like, is it kind of like they grew beyond the format at that point?
It felt very forced the last season. Like the season before was when they really had that parade of celebrities. And then I think, yeah, Kathy at that time had become more or less A-list. She had won 2 Emmys. She won a Grammy. And yeah. they tried to kind of go back and put her in that mold. And I almost wish we could do that show again with her because now she's obviously fallen from the A-list.
Yeah.
I think there'd be something so interesting there too. But I also miss when Bravo would have comedians on all the time. I mean, Kathy was really the face of the network for so long, and yeah, she would do stand-up specials like every quarter or at least a couple times a year.
And those are great. I love those.
I wish they would do that. I mean, I wish there are so many comedians who are really obsessed with Bravo, and I think there would be a way, I'm not even saying this for myself, but I think there would be a way to put a lot of the podcasters or something like that and do specials where there's sort of a mix of comedy and maybe like the recapping that people do. I don't know. I feel like it's such a missed opportunity because the network was so, had always done that with Kathy specifically, but I think there's a spot missing for that.
Before we move off Kathy Griffin's life on the D-list, because it is in your favorite category, do you have any favorite moments, favorite scenes, favorite episodes, especially since you did somewhat recent rewatch, anything that like, when you think of your show, that's where your mind goes. That's what you remember first.
Maggie definitely sticks out. Kathy went overseas and performed for the troops. I think that episode is like really moving, and she visits a lot of people who are over there fighting. And I think you see it now. Kathy's known now in such a different way. Obviously that what she had done with that photo shoot, it infiltrated her career and infiltrated people's opinions of her. But if there were certain things that, if you go back and rewatch, you could see a different side of her than I think people remember now. And then also there's an episode where she's with Bette Midler in Las Vegas that makes me laugh a lot. And there's specifically one scene where they go to Old Vegas, you know, like they're not off the strip, they go to Old Vegas. And she makes Bette Midler try like a deep fried Oreo over there. And then there's this this woman who just sort of is like gets in front of the camera and is like vamping for the camera, who was on the street in Old Vegas. And it's so funny. And I'm not doing justice, but that episode, if anyone can go back and just watch that one, I think you'll laugh. And it's got sort of all the hallmarks of that series.
I love that. All right, Danny, let's move on to the final category, the forever category. What is your forever Bravo show?
It's The Real Housewives of New York. That's my all-time favorite. I love it. It's gotten bad. Brandy was right. Brandy was, you were spot on in that, like, the last couple seasons have not been great. Probably the first 10 or 11 years of it, to me, that's the most rewatchable of Housewives. And I think it's because they really edit it almost as a comedy, more so than a drama. We get a lot of great drama moments. I mean, specifically season 3 sticks out to me. There was like this long running storyline with Bethany Frankel and Jill Zarin and the dissolution of their friendship that was really dramatic. Ultimately, what I latch onto is the comedy of The Real Housewives of New York, and even the comedy within the drama, because when these big fights are happening, there's usually some sort of silliness to them or an absurdity to the fights. And I call it Roni whiplash, because the show tends to move on really quickly when they're fighting. So they could have the biggest blow up ever about something, and it's like the women just completely move on from it moments later, and then they're on to the next thing. And so it moves really quickly. And to me, it's the funniest and the most rewatchable of all the Housewives. I think I've also been rewatching Early Atlanta, and Early Atlanta is like also some of the funniest stuff. I mean, like the Nene and Kim dynamic is both dramatic and hilarious. And I think there's a lot of rewatchability in those early seasons as well. But if I had to pick one, it'd be Roni.
Brandy, you're our resident Housewives expert. What do you think about this as the forever pick?
Completely agree. It is so rewatchable. I can't tell you how many times my best friend and I, or that's what he does at night. He just puts on, he's like, what Housewives am I going to put on tonight to rewatch? And it's usually season 3 or 4 of Roni. And then like sending me screenshots the whole time of just like, oh my God, do you remember this? And it's like, I love that.
It's so rewatchable.
And just talking about like the whiplash, it's like the Bethany and Ramona walking across the bridge, Ramona being like so rude to her. And then like 2 scenes later, like we're at a party, everything's great.
Right.
Obviously, I will never forget Tom and Luann and the shaking of the hand and the like. It's just, there's just so many great moments. And I love that like Bethany left and came back and it was fine. You know what I mean? Like it was like, yes, you belong here. This is what you should be doing.
And that's where Bethany shines the most, is amongst an ensemble like that, where she could really comment on the other people and the absurdity around her. I think she works so great as a Greek chorus. And I mean, some of the arcs of those women, I don't think anyone on TV has had an arc like Luann de Lesseps, who started off this show as like this really kind of, the word crusty just came to mind, but you know, like this upper crust, is that a word? You know, like that kind of hoity-toity.
Yeah, upper crust. Like she was a countess. Like she's living on the Upper East Side in a townhouse. Like
with this attitude and kind of looking down at all the other women and the other people around her. And then to go from that to jail and marrying Tom. And I mean, she's been through so much stuff. And it's like crazy to witness that type of arc for any character on television, let alone a woman, over 40, over 50, going through those kinds of ups and downs, and to follow them over the course of 10 plus years is just a rare thing in TV. And so, yeah, Roni's the one I always go back to too. It's my comfort food show too. It's like that one where if I'm stressed or anxious or something, I could put it on and it'll calm me down immediately. Even though it's crazy, it still relaxes me.
Yeah.
Listen, they get that mix just right. Of like, I feel like the reason that I love Housewives is because like I love talking shit with my friends. It's one of my favorite things to do. And like Housewives just gets all of that. It's like I can watch other people do it and also like have conflict that I'm never going to have. Like I'm never throwing a drink at somebody, but I will watch a drink being thrown.
Right.
I can get behind that.
Roni moving on quickly too is important, because sometimes I get frustrated with like the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. And I find the reason why that's not as rewatchable is because there's so many seasons of that show where they get stuck on one thing and it plays out over the course of 22 episodes. And it's like you just get bored with the storyline or like move on and do something else. But on Real Housewives of New York, I don't feel like you ever kind of get in those spots. where nothing's happening. It's always moving so quickly.
Well, speaking of New York, have you started watching the newest Ultimate Girls Trip at Bluestone Manor?
Yes, of course. I love it. And I don't know if you know this, but I stayed at Bluestone Manor during my book tour.
Stop.
I stayed there for a night.
Brandy's face right now.
In the fish room?
I stayed in the fish room. Dorinda made it nice. It was gorgeous. It was like not even 24 hours. It was a quick thing. I was in New York for some press and stuff, and she had invited me there for a dinner and to stay the night. And it was a dream come true. It was so weird to be like in that, because we know that house from The Real House of New York and now Ultimate Girls Trip. And so it was so weird. It was so exciting and weird to be there. But it's such a beautiful house. I don't even know if the TV show does it justice, but it's so stunningly beautiful and also really rich. It's hard to tell from TV, but everything is like so solid and rich.
Like this is quality.
Quality stuff. Like the sheets. I wanted the sheets so bad because the bed sheets were so nice. I got home and I had asked her and I was like, what are these sheets? And I looked them up. I was like, oh, I can't. That's like more than my car. Like I can't afford the sheets. Like, but it was so beautiful. And Len, who works for Dorinda, she was there and I was asking her questions about Ultimate Girls Trip because this was before it aired. And I was like asking her, and you could just tell, like in her eyes, you could see when I mentioned Ultimate Girls Trip, it was like, oh my God, like it was so chaotic here for her because all of these women were here fighting for 8 days straight. And they moved a whole production. And so I love this season of Ultimate Girls Trip. I think it's the best show on right now. It's, I think, only going to be 7 or 8 episodes or something, but it's so good and so fun to see all these women come together who are from different franchises, and they're all crazy in the best ways.
Now, here's a question. Is Ultimate Girls Trip something that's someone like me who, like, I'm not up on, like, the Housewives lore. I've never seen a full season of Housewives, but I hear such great things and it sounds so fun. Is it something that I could, someone like me could come in on and just enjoy from the jump, do you think?
I think so. I think particularly this new season of it, because you'll get kind of a housewife history lesson within the show, because they do often flashback and they show montages of, if they're bringing something up that happened on one of their shows, they'll show you a montage. So you're able to see stuff that happened. And yeah, I think you get all the hallmarks of it. You get, this season has, I think, the comedy, the drama. We're also in a familiar setting because it's set at Bluestone Manor, which is something from The Real Housewives of New York. So yeah, I think it'd be great to jump into.
Okay. All right. I think I might just, I think you've convinced me.
Please jump in, Dan. I want you. It's on Peacock.
It's so good. It's so good.
It wouldn't make a Bravo BFFs, but it's the best show on Peacock is what I'm hearing.
Yeah. It's so good. The first season of it is like really bland and boring, but it's also interesting to see the women come together in a way. Like I enjoyed the first season, but this season is like pure chaos.
Same cast or different cast between the two?
Different cast. Different cast. The season two is all, they're all ex-housewives. So they're all people who are basically fired from their franchises.
On pause.
There's a level of like them wanting to obviously get back onto their shows. And it's like, there's a different kind of, it's a different vibe. It's so good, Dan. You have to watch.
Okay, I'm in.
Even my boyfriend, he's dipped in and out certain seasons of Housewives, or he'll kind of know peripherally what's going on because I'm talking about it or whatever. But he is even watching this season with me and he like loves it.
That's awesome.
So Married to Medicine is the best Bravo show that Danny Pellegrino has ever seen. Kathy Griffin's My Life on the D-List is his favorite Bravo show of all time. And he would watch The Real Housewives of New York forever.
I love this.
It's a really great, that for our first network BFF, I love it.
I will be watching Real House in New York for absolute ever.
Yeah. He is already in process.
I like that 100%. When I'm 80 years old and I'm stressed or something, I will be putting on season 3 of New York Housewives for sure.
I love it. Now, Danny, we got to get you out of here very soon. But before we sign off, we do have a quick lightning round that we did not tell you about, which is what makes it fun.
Oh, good.
So for this, because we're doing a Bravo episode, how would you feel about doing the famous Inside the Actor Studio James Lipton questions?
Let's do it. I'd love it.
I won't do a James Lipton impression because it won't do it justice, but here we go. Danny, are you ready?
Yes. Yes. I can't wait.
What is your favorite word?
Fuck.
What is your least favorite word?
I don't like the word. I hate to even say it. I hate the word peen. It's like so gross. It's, you know, it's like slang for penis.
Yeah, that's terrible. Yeah, I hate it.
I hate it. Like, I hate the word peen. It just is so, and believe me, I love dick, but I don't like that word. Let's not use that as, I don't like that word. It's like the worst slang ever. Ugh.
Speaking of though, what turns you on?
A peen. No. no, sense of humor turns me on. And people, I like people who are a little bit not, like a little bit have like a twisted sense of humor or a little bit darker sense of humor.
Okay, dark sense of humor.
And I like big thighs, big muscular thighs.
Okay, nice, nice. What turns you off?
When people don't know how to have a laugh at themselves, I think. And people who don't watch TV, I hate when people say, oh, I don't watch much TV or...
Don't get me started.
Ding, ding, ding. We talk about this all the time. Like, who are you?
Like, they're bragging about it. Like, don't brag about it. You're weird. Watch TV. It's weird.
Get out of here. That's our shared turnoff.
And by the way, I also am turned on by people who read. Like, I feel similarly about that. There's so many people oftentimes, and I noticed this when I came out with my book, it was like people who say, oh, I don't read books. And I'm like, you should read a book. You should at least read like one or two books a year. Like, I'm not saying you have to be reading 100 books a year, but I don't like when people brag about like, I don't read a book. And it's like, don't brag about it. It's fine if you don't have the time, or I know there's busy people or something. You might only be able to get to one book a year even.
Right.
But I notice there's a lot of people who it's like a point of pride that they're like, I don't read. And I'm like, that's weird.
Listen, everyone should read a book. And if you don't know what to start with How Do I Unremember This by Danny Pellegrino.
Good plug, Dan. Good plug.
What sound or noise do you love?
Oh, I love, oh gosh, my mom's laugh. My mom's laugh. She has a really good laugh.
That's adorable.
Yeah.
What sound or noise do you hate?
The ambulance. I don't like an ambulance.
We may have answered this one already. What's your favorite curse word?
Fuck. I like that. It's such a universal word. Yeah.
It's the best one. What profession other than your own would you like to attempt?
I would have loved, you talked about Top Chef. I always kind of had this fantasy of going to culinary school. There were certain times in my life where I was like, should I go to culinary school? Never did.
Yeah, that's a fun one. What profession would you not like to do?
Anything in airplanes. I wouldn't want to be like a pilot. I don't like being up high in the air, and planes stress me out. So yeah, probably anything in the air.
Okay. And a final question. If heaven exists, and before you get to your forever binge of Real Housewives of New York, what would you like to hear God say when you arrive at the pearly gates?
Let's have some more fun.
Yeah.
Come on in. We're going to have some more fun. Started. Let's get this party started. Yeah.
I love it.
I think like, let's continue this and have a good time.
Well, Danny, this has been such a good time. Thank you so much for coming on the show. Thank you again to our guest, Danny Pellegrino. Where can we find you? What are you up to? What do you have coming out? Tell us everything.
Thank you. This was such a pleasure for me. I love chatting with both of you. So thank you for having me. I'm at Danny Pellegrino on Twitter and Instagram. My book's called How Do I Unremember This? And you can get it wherever books are sold. There's also an audiobook if you want to listen. Buy the book. So they let me write another one. And my show is called Everything Iconic. It's a podcast.
I love it.
And
yes.
It's really, really funny. And he does amazing interviews, really great recaps. I tune in every week. Like, sometimes I don't even watch the shows. I just listen to your recap of the shows. And it's amazing.
Thank you for listening, Brandon.
Yes, I really love it.
Thank you so much for having me. Bye.
Brandy, wow. That was so fun.
He's so hilarious. I love, like, oh my God.
I knew he had something special. One, when he mentioned Gallery Girls. Two, when he putting Kathy Griffin's My Life on the D-List on the criteria. I mean, it was next level. I thought it was just really fun that we got to talk about like a true wide breadth of Bravo programming that really, I think, kind of cut to the core of what the network is now, what it once was, how it kind of came to be, and all aspects of all things Bravo. It was super, super fun.
Honestly, it's the Gallery Girls for me. Anytime I can discuss that show with anyone is a good time, and the only time I want to be in, you know?
It's a fucking win. I love it. Brandy, to close out the episode here, right, we didn't do a mini BFF lightning round with Danny. We did the James Lipton questions, which was fucking perfect, and I loved it. But let's leave everyone with a little mini BFFs of our own. So
yeah.
Based on where we are right now, September 2022. What's your best, favorite, and forever streaming service? I can go first on this one because this one I have given a little bit of thought to. Best, this might sound weird out of the box, but I'm going with Apple TV Plus.
Okay. I feel like I haven't watched enough to make a judgment. I feel like I watched Ted Lasso and Severance and the Mariah Carey Christmas specials 1 and 2.
I have not seen the Mariah Carey Christmas specials 1 and 2, but Ted Lasso and Severance, excellent shows. That's the thing. Like, they are putting together kind of like HBO had in its heyday, where like if something comes out on this network, you know it's going to be worthwhile. You might not love it, it might not be for you, but it's going to be good. It's going to have quality. Not only that, the user experience, it's fucking Apple. So like, it's seamless. It's intuitive. You can, the next up, I hate when it says continue watching, but I don't want to immediately play the episode. I want to go to the show page, but they don't give you the option. So you click on next watching, and all of a sudden you're right in the middle of the episode and it's not where you want to be. Apple, you just kind of press and hold and it brings up a play next episode, go to show page, more information. Like, it's just, it's super easy to use. And the shows are really, really good. For All Mankind is really, really good. Like you mentioned, Severance is really, really good. Ted Lasso, like there's just consistent high-level TV coming out on Apple TV+. So that goes in my best. My favorite would be, no surprise, Disney+. Give me all the nerd shit. Give me the Marvel. Give me the Star Wars. Give me Pixar. Give it to me. That's my favorite. I love it. Just the bolt of joy, the bolt of like warm feeling in my gut that I get when I open the Disney Plus app every time, never fails. I feel it every time. So that's my favorite.
Okay.
And then forever, I got to go HBO Max. I mean, Apple TV might be on the up and up, but you can't.
HBO's got, they've got the library behind them and they're about to have so much more.
They got the library. David Zaslav is doing everything he can to trim that library, at least on the HBO Max side of things. But I don't think it's going to matter in the long run. The HBO library is unassailable, impeccable. You got to have that forever. That's my pick.
So mine, my best is Hulu.
Ooh, fuck. Good one.
It's honestly because I think that like it's Hulu has Hulu on FX. It's not even that I'm trying to watch all of the shows that or FX on Hulu, whatever. Like, I mean, Handmaid's Tale is fine. It's just that's like it's too real for me. So I'm not really trying to watch that. But like, I love that Hulu can be my hub for all things FX.
And you get a lot like, you know, your Abbott Elementary, like you get a lot of the broadcast network shows on there, like random cable, like Everything's Trash is on there. It's a Freeform show. So you're getting a lot of networks in one hub.
Oh, yeah. The Freeform. I'm watching The Deep End right now. And that's a Freeform one. So, yeah. So I like Hulu for my best. My favorite is actually HBO Max.
Okay. Right on.
Because I feel like, I don't know, I can usually always find something on, and like I actually do really like their shows. Like, started Rap Shit, loving it.
Actually
started I'm 4 or 5 episodes into Sort Of, which is a recommendation from an upcoming episode.
Yeah.
And it's actually it's everything she said it was.
Yeah.
Which is just like a delightful watch.
Nice. Love that.
And yeah, like I'm not really watching a lot of their like unscripted stuff. And I would say that like it's almost a tie for my favorite between HBO Max and Peacock in terms of what they've got going on.
Because Peacock has the Housewives, right?
Peacock has the Housewives, yeah. And Housewives Ultimate Girls Trip season 2, which is one of the best shows of all time, as we just discussed.
Right, exactly.
But I think I'm going with HBO Max. And then my forever.
Well, hold on. I kind of want to guess because now I'm like, what can it be? Because like Hulu, HBO Max, both heavy forever energy. Big BFE, big forever energy with those two. So like,
Dan, I can't believe you can't guess.
Well, I feel like I know what it is, but I'm like, I'm kind of like, why?
Disney Plus.
Shit, really?
Yeah.
We both left out Netflix. I thought you were about to put Netflix in your forever.
No. Netflix, never. I love Disney movies. I would love to be. And like the Disney Channel was such a formative part of my childhood. The free previews of the Disney Channel were like, I lived for those things. And then when we finally got Disney Channel, it's like, get the fuck out of here. Like, I love it.
Now, I haven't done that dive. I imagine it has all those Disney Channel shows, right? It must.
Yeah, I mean, it has a ton of stuff, but also just like, I love Disney movies. I love the Disney Channel made for TV movies. Like,
sure, okay.
I mean, you know, everybody talks about like, you know, High School Musical and stuff. I'm talking about like the stuff from like the 90s, the late 80s. Like, I was into it. So I would love, like, I would never run out of anything to watch. If I had, and I also, I love like all the Disney movies from like the 60s. Like I love like The Parent Trap and Pollyanna, Bedknobs and Broomsticks. Like I'm into that.
Right, right. And I gotta say it, if you're with Disney Plus forever, chances are at some point you'll take a wander over to MCU worlds and Star Wars land.
I mean, I did watch WandaVision.
It's forever though, Brandon. Like you'd have to at some point, you know, after your 50th watch of all the movies, you're like, you know what?
Look, I'm interested in She-Hulk.
She-Hulk is really fucking funny. Give it a shot.
Okay. There's so much stuff on. You have the National Geographic of it all. It's like,
oh, sure. Yeah.
Look, I can watch a fucking animal show, okay? I feel like I haven't stopped in on one in a while, actually, and I think it's time.
And I'll tell you what, like, we can revisit this down the line, but if you're talking forever, I feel like Disney is in a good spot to probably continue building, expanding its empire. It's probably going to buy a network or two in the next 10 years. So like Disney Plus will only expand going forward, really.
We're three generations in on Disney now, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like,
I think it started in like the 50s.
In the 50s?
Something like that. Yeah.
So that's mine. Hulu, HBO Max, Disney Plus. Mm. Honorable mention to Peacock.
Honorable mention. Big honorable mention to Peacock. For me, big honorable mention to Hulu. Paramount Plus, not there yet. A lot of work to do. I appreciate that you have the challenge catalog, but that's really all you're bringing for me right now.
Amazon Prime Video, or is it just called Prime or whatever?
They got good originals.
I just started A League of Their Own. It's really great.
Fun. I binged it. It was good.
Catastrophe.
Yeah.
So good.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they got Lord of the Rings coming, Fleabag. They got some great all-time shit on there. All right, friends. So that's about a wrap on this episode. But welcome back again to season 2. We'll be here every week for the most part, maybe a week off down the line. But we'll be here pretty much every Friday. We got some fun stuff coming up. Like we mentioned, just an absolute killer lineup of guests. Look out for that. Doing the classic BFF criteria. We also are doing some more inventive criterias. So for instance, coming very soon, you're going to see a Sopranos-specific criteria, bringing back some guests from last season who put Sopranos in their criteria. We're going to do a little best favorite forever season discussion and debate. So we're going to continue to stretch the concept a little bit. We're still talking TV. We're still talking BFFs. We're going to do it in a couple new ways that we hope you guys will enjoy, because we're really excited about it. And we've been having a ton of fun, you know, continuing to develop the show. It's what we do, right? Like, you can't have two development executives create a series and tinker with that format.
And not constantly be like, everything's got notes.
You know what I mean? We can't live.
There's never going to be a time where you're going to hear us say 10 out of 10, no notes.
That's right.
Okay.
Except like, for
that's
our
all
guests.
I ever want to say, except for our guests. Yeah.
Our guests are 10s out of 10s, no notes.
Our guest criteria, no notes, but overall evolution of the show. And also, you guys, like, let us know what you think. Please email us tvbffpodcast@gmail.com. We're listening. Okay. We're listening. We're evolving.
That's right. Find us on Instagram at tvbffpodcast. Rate us, review us, subscribe if you haven't already, and stick around. We got a lot more coming up. Until next time. Bye, friends.
Bye, friends. You arrived.